What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, March 17th, 2023. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And it's another very, very busy news day. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we're going to try and get through as much of it as we can. Before we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions, a little kind of an apology up front. I picked up a bit of a cough. I think I know the guy who coughed on me and gave me this, but we'll get through the show anyway. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and let's get right on into it. First of all, for those of you watching on TV, from my green shirt, you should be able to tell that, sure me gorn, it's St. Patrick's Day, and we celebrate St. Patrick, who drove all the snakes out of Ireland, which is a very pleasant little legend here, although paleontologists have studied Ireland and said it never really had snakes to begin with, but why ruin a good story, especially if there is a beer attached to it here. All right, let's get into some serious news. We're going to start by going back to the Ohio train derailment site, because one of the issues that really wasn't being talked about was dioxin. They were talking about all these other chemicals, polyvinyl chloride, and so forth and so on. And the big, ugly one, of course, was dioxin. Highly toxic, can last in the soil for anywhere between 25 and 100 years. Well, it turns out there has now been testing in the town of East Palestine, and the soil at the scene of the train crash is showing dioxin levels hundreds of times greater than the exposure threshold above which the EPA says poses a cancer risk. So those people are in serious trouble. And the EPA at the time proposed lowering the cleanup threshold to reflect the science around the highly toxic chemical, but the Obama administration killed the rules, and the higher federal action threshold remains in place. However, East Palestine has a huge amount, but they're still below the federal action threshold. And the EPA administrator last week told Congress the levels are very low, and chemical experts, including former EPA officials who reviewed the data, says it is concerning. And don't forget, it was the EPA that told all those 9/11 first responders, sure, you can breathe the air around those collapsed buildings, it's full of asbestos dust, but don't worry about it. Now, earlier today, the EPA Administrator Michael Regan said that he expects the cleanup in East Palestine, Ohio, to take 3 months. Personally, I think it's going to take a lot longer than that, especially dealing with that dioxin contamination. And obviously, dioxin is now in the or was in the clouds of contaminants that blew away from the train wreck. The material that poured into the Ohio River, which is flowing past me just a couple of miles off that way here. So it's a serious, serious problem. All right, getting on back to Silicon Valley Bank, things are not really looking all that hot. And let's see, the stock market took a real clubbing today. They didn't get their traditional Friday happy ending here. But the new CEO of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank, they've renamed it, they're asking the customers to help the institution rebuild. They sent out an email to their clients to encourage transferring money into the bank or leaving the deposits they have in Silicon Valley Bank there while it tries to bounce on back. Personally, if I'd received one of those emails, I would say this is a sign to get the heck on out there. Meanwhile, the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank, Silicon Valley Bank Financial Group, has announced today that they are filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Okay, now I think this started happening yesterday, but we're going to mention it again. The big banks have agreed to a $30 billion unsecured deposit injection into the First Republic Bank to try and give it the liquidity to continue serving its customers who are trying to pull their money out of the bank. And Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo are each making a $5 billion uninsured deposit into First Republic Bank. Now, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are making an uninsured deposit of $2.5 billion. And so they're out there trying to basically bring everything together here. And the story is out there to try and reassure us that the banking system is taking steps. Everything's going to be just fine and no need to worry. Nothing to see here, people. But the fact is that that $30 billion in unsecured deposits, it's a desperate move, and it's a huge gamble, because if First Republic collapses, those other banks are going to be severely damaged. And that's just, you know, because that money is unsecured. There's no collateral on any of it here. Okay, now over at the Federal Reserve, their balance sheet has exploded by $300 billion as the bank bailouts lead to record discount window surge. Now, the discount window was something that goes back to 2008 as banks were in serious trouble following the collapse of the mortgage-backed security fraud. They were going to the discount window and just getting more and more money, and the chart is just showing a real spike there. And in the week ending on March 15th, borrowings under the Fed's deeply stigmatized last-ditch liquidity facility, the discount window, exploded to $152.85 billion, a record $148 billion weekly jump to an all-time high, which surpassed the borrowings during the last fiscal crisis. And so they're just pouring the money out there. And, of course, it's going to increase inflation, and that's going to raise prices and increase the suffering of the American people. Now, over at the Federal Reserve, they're going to print another $2 trillion with a T in fake funny money to try and bail out these financial disasters. And this will further devalue the dollar. And you know, they're looking at what was going on over there at Signature Bank, you know, where they weren't looking at what was going on with the banking. They were out there, you know, holding seminars on the correct LGBT pronouns. Chairman Scott Shea co-hosted a company event just last fall called Know Your Pronouns, in which lower-level employees were browbeaten into adopting the use of made-up gender pronouns that affirm the delusions of the mentally ill, instead of learning how to properly run a bank so that it avoids collapse. Get woke and go broke. Now, things are not good over at Credit Suisse. Despite the loan from the Swiss National Bank, the deposit run continues. People are pulling their money out of the bank. And many banks have actually curbed their trading with Credit Suisse, despite the rescue by the Swiss National Bank. And I took a look at Credit Suisse's stock price just before the show. It is almost at rock bottom. Heck, even I could afford to buy shares in Credit Suisse at this particular point. Okay, so there's an article came out of Kunstler.com, and it's SVB FTX SBF equals WTF. And it says the net effect of all the lying propaganda laid on the public by the people running things low these many years is a peculiar inertia that makes us seemingly impervious to gross political shocks. And momentous things happen and almost instantly get swallowed up by time as by some voracious cosmic amoeba that thrives on human malignancy. And case in point, the multiple suicide of several giant banks just days ago that prompted Joe Biden to nationalize the U.S. banking system. Now, at one point, they were out there saying that having established the precedent of a total bailout for all the depositors in Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic, that it was now any bank anywhere was now fully protected and nationalized. Now Janet Yellen is pulling back on that and saying that, you know, these might have just been one-off exceptions, and that community banks in Middle America might not be offered the same protection like Silicon Valley Bank. In other words, back to that $250,000 per account FDIC insurance limit, which admittedly does not seem fair. But the reality is the U.S. government doesn't have the money to totally bail out the banking system. And offering to basically bail them out no matter what is going to encourage bad bank behavior. They're going to go after highly profitable but very risky investments, knowing that if they make the money, they get to keep it. And if they lose the money, the losses will be transferred onto the American people. Okay, so there is no question that Silicon Valley Bank was neck deep with the Democrats and the liberals, and apparently Joe Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer were among several high-profile politicians who took cash from Silicon Valley Bank affiliates before the institution collapsed. And political action committees and individuals associated with the now-defunct SVB have donated extensively to leading politicians. And remember, SVB and some other banks have been lobbying those same politicians to ease the banking regulations. Okay. And another article, this is from the New York Post, putting diversity and equity first nearly crashed the economy. It still might. I don't think we're out of the woods on this one yet. And the author of the article is saying, several years back, I asked what it would take to halt this nonsense of diversity, inclusion, and equity in America. And perhaps it would require the bridges to start falling down. And maybe at this particular point, the collapse of the banks might send a signal that we've gone a little too far to this diversion, inclusion, and equity nonsense and need to go back to meritocracy and excellence in knowing what the heck you're doing. All righty. Now getting into non-SVB politics, James Comer is really on a roll out there. He's revealing just how much of a family business Biden Incorporated is. And bank records just obtained by the House Oversight Committee show that Hunter Biden associate Rob Walker transferred north of $1.3 million in 2017, not only to usual suspects Hunter and presidential little brother Jim, but also to daughter-in-law Hallie, who was Beau's widow and Hunter's brief fling. Plus, there is another person tagged simply as Biden, who they are not further identifying at this point. So, you know, the family that engages in corruption together stays together or something along that line. Now, most of that big chunk of change came from a $3 million transfer from an affiliate of Chinese energy outfit CEFC to Walker. Now, CEFC is now defunct. It was one of China's biggest private companies and a main target of Hunter Biden's operations back in 2017, with Hunter angling for an ultra-high-paid board seat and equity stakes for him and Jim and an unnamed big guy, widely thought to be Joe Biden. So now the House Oversight Committee wants to talk to Walker. They want to put him on the witness stand, Rob Walker. They want to put him under oath and basically talk to him about, you know, just what was this all about. Meanwhile, you can see the Democratic shills are all over social media saying, well, you know, Representative Comer, he doesn't have any proof yet. All he has is suspicions. Hey, he doesn't really have any proof here. All right, there's a new development in the saga of the laptop, and Hunter Biden has sued the owner of the Wilmington computer repair store, John Paul Mac Isaac, for invasion of privacy after Isaac turned over the contents of Biden's laptop, first of all, to the law enforcement authorities, who then forwarded on to other people, eventually getting it into the hands of Donald Trump. Now, John Paul Mac Isaac had previously sued Biden. This is a counterclaim filed by Hunter, saying that the first son said the shopkeeper had no legal right to copy and distribute the private information. And lawyers for Hunter Biden are requesting a jury trial to determine damages and ask that Mac Isaac return any data belonging to Joe Biden's son. Well, the cat is out of the bag. It's been copied. It's been all over the place here. And the significance of this is, and Hunter may not have really picked up on it himself, but Hunter has now himself personally confirmed the laptop is real and it did belong to him. Remember those 51 intelligence experts who all claimed this was Russian disinformation? Remember when the FBI went to Facebook and said, you've got to tamp down this story because it's Russian disinformation? And everybody went after the New York Post for posting the story. Say, oh, it's obviously fake. No, it's not fake. Hunter Biden has now basically in a court of law declared it is his laptop and it is for real. And you need to remember that Isaac found evidence on that computer of wrongdoing. And under the law, it has to be reported to authorities. If you find evidence of a crime on a computer you're repairing, or you have any information about a crime and you don't report it, it's called misprison. And you can be prosecuted, you know, under the idea that you knew something was wrong and you should have reported it. And because you didn't, we're going to throw you in jail. You know, see something, say something, you know, which I did in the Vince Foster case. And they kind of messed up my life here. Getting on to January 6th, the Department of Justice is telling the court that more than 1,000 people could still face charges in connection with the January 6th protest. This is 2 years on here, okay? And even with Tucker Carlson's exposure that the January 6th committee lied about the events of that day, the persecution continues. This is what happens when you have stolen elections. The government does whatever it wants to do, unafraid of what the public thinks, because you can't possibly vote the bastards out. Okay. Now, Jacob Chansley, otherwise known as the QA shaman, is responding to the Department of Justice's claim that it did not suppress January 6th evidence. This is all coming down to the idea that the Department of Justice and Congress had videos that were exculpatory for Jacob Chansley and a lot of these other people who are being persecuted. And the Department of Justice is saying, no, no, absolutely. We didn't withhold anything here. And the lawyers are saying otherwise, that, the Department of Justice is doing more damage to our democracy than anything that was done by the January 6th protesters. And he's absolutely right about that. Okay, now, Donald Trump had a song out, Justice for All, and it was him reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and behind it were some of the January 6th prisoners singing the national anthem. Now, this song went right to the top of the iTunes chart. It was there for an entire week. It was beating out Miley Cyrus, Tim McGraw, Morgan Wallen. And all the money being made by this song is being donated to the families of the people in the January 6th gulag. And Apple took the song down from the iTunes platform without any explanation. And, of course, there was a huge outcry, and Apple put it back up again, saying it was merely a miscommunication, but it was off of the iTunes store long enough where it's been knocked out of its number one position. And so it's not going to show up on the top current songs when you go to the iTunes music store. Boy, these people love to fight dirty, don't they? Okay, now, Carrie Lake is getting ready to take her case to the Arizona Supreme Court. I wish her luck. I'm skeptical. But Carrie Lake's attorneys have found a response to the Maricopa County filing. Now, the Maricopa County filing says there's no new evidence. You know, it's already been judged in the lower courts. There's no need for the Arizona Supreme Court to look at this. And the issue raised by Carrie Lake's attorney is there are over 35,000 unaccounted for ballots in the election. We had more votes than voters. Where did they come from? Now, Rasmussen did a poll in Arizona. They simply went around to everybody and they said, who did you vote for governor? And also one of the other offices that's under question. And the numbers were staggering. It shows that Carrie Lake won that election by 8 points. That qualifies as a landslide. Okay, and it definitely underscores the fact that the election was rigged. Now, here's where it's going to get interesting. There's a law that goes back to 2017 that says irregularities in elections don't have to be proven to be intentional, even if it's just accident and stupidity. If the election isn't proven honest, it can be done over again. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to talk about COVID right now. Ron DeSantis is out there making speeches. I was talking about the three-year anniversary of 15 days to flatten the curve, saying that COVID was a woke hoax, or a woke virus, rather. And he hammered the CDC and the health experts, saying they were wrong about almost everything. And yeah, they turned out to be wrong about everything. There was an article that came out today in The Lancet, which is the British medical journal, highly regarded, saying that if you've had the COVID vaccine, you are now more likely to contract COVID than you would have been if you'd avoided the vaccine in the first place. So setting aside all the side effects and everything, the vaccine doesn't work. It doesn't protect you. It makes you more likely to come down with COVID. Now, new information is coming out of the Twitter files. Matt Taibbi has unearthed evidence of collusion and censorship at Twitter, old Twitter, pre-Musk Twitter. And apparently Stanford partnered with Twitter and the Biden administration to censor stories about COVID and the vaccine. And one of the categories that said needed action was stories of true vaccine side effects. In other words, they weren't even saying it was wrong and fake, and their imaginations are saying there are true stories of vaccine side effects out there. We've got to ban that. We've got to silence that. You know, it's harming the sales of the pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, money is much more important than human beings in our society. If you didn't realize that, take a look at all the homeless people on the streets here. Now, post O'Keefe Project Veritas is still continuing to do some good work, and they basically discovered a confidential Pfizer document that reveals that Pfizer had evidence suggesting there was a risk of myocarditis following their vaccinations in early 2022. And some of the quotes that were in this document: there is evidence that suggests patients who receive a COVID-19 vaccine are at an increased risk of myocarditis. Onset was typically within several days after the mRNA COVID-19 vaccination, and cases have occurred more often after the second dose than the first dose. And now, of course, they're talking about a fourth dose on this thing. And so they knew. They absolutely knew. And today, the CDC has come on out saying there have been enough cases of people who received the COVID vaccine and then suffer a stroke for them to begin an investigation. Okay, so the conspiracy theorists were right. Yes, if you have these mRNA shots, you are going to have bad things happen. You're going to get blood clots in places they shouldn't be. You're going to have all these stories about young athletes and cheerleaders and everything just falling over, you know, without explanation here. Okay, story coming on out of Natural News. Basically saying that, yes, it's confirmed that Fauci sent American taxpayer money to communist China to research and develop COVID and then to spread pandemic propaganda. And Fauci sent lots of your dollars overseas to China to pick apart viruses and do other dangerous experiments that ultimately led to the creation and accidental unleashing of COVID-19, which makes Fauci directly complicit in causing the pandemic. Okay, and apparently one such recipient of cash from Fauci is Li Shansu, a graduate from Shandong University in China, who now works as a professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore. Su has been in the United States for more than 30 years, he has maintained active collaboration with scientists in China. And interestingly enough, when you look at his biology page, or his biography page, it says Li Shansu is an inventor for certain patents, and his address is shown as the Institute of Biophysics, Chinese Academy of Sciences, not the University of Maryland. So basically, that Wuhan conspiracy theory is not a conspiracy anymore. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said yesterday that Joe Biden has yet to make a decision on whether he will sign into law a bill to declassify all information on the origins of the COVID pandemic. This was passed unanimously in both chambers of Congress. That kind of unanimity makes it look like they're just going to say it came from China, end of story, and we're not going to mention how the fact that the money to do all this came from the United States. But the secret's out. Everybody's knowing about it here. So, Biden may turn around and veto that bill just to try and keep people from talking about the link from Fauci, from the Department of Defense, from USAID to Echo Health Alliance, and from them to the Wuhan lab. All right. Now, the corporate media is still trying to protect the Biden administration and protect Anthony Fauci, and they have a new theory for where COVID came from. Forget about the laboratory. It came from raccoon dogs. Yeah, apparently that is a real animal over in China. It is sold in that wet market that they've been blaming. Oh, it's the fish, it's the octopus, it's the bat. No, it's the raccoon dogs. And corporate media's nose continues to grow and grow and grow with all of this. All righty, we're coming up here on another commercial break. And when we come on back, boy, we've got a lot of things to get through. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're just finishing up on the health issues. And there's an article that came out of Slate News that researchers are raising the alarm after a new study revealed that American teens and young children are dying at the highest level seen in decades. This was put out in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The researchers found the mortality rate for minors aged 1 through 19 soared by almost 20% between 2020 and 2022. And they said it cannot be ascribed to the COVID-19 virus. Notably, they did not make any attempt to correlate it with the COVID-19 vaccine. All righty. Let's see. Boy, something's out of the order. Okay, I got a problem here. Give me a second to sort this out. All right, let's get to the international news here. Poland is going to be the first NATO member to provide Ukraine with fighter jets. They're planning to send 4 Soviet-made MiG-29 fighter jets in the coming days. Now, the reason to send the MiGs is kind of, you know, first of all, they're old. But the Ukrainian pilots are already trained to fly them. Okay, and Slovakia has now jumped on the bandwagon, saying they're going to send MiG-29s to Ukraine. And Russia's already saying that the instant those planes are on the ground in Ukraine, they will be destroyed. Okay, now, at present, the United States is continuing to provide weapons and military equipment to the Kiev government, and they prefer to do that over reconciliation-themed diplomatic contacts with Russia, according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. And Blinken is saying there has to be a just and durable peace in Ukraine, just in the sense that it reflects the principles of the UN Charter. And if it's a peace that allows Russia to keep all the territory seized by force, that's not justice. In other words, there'll be peace when Russia packs up and goes home and lets us keep all of Ukraine that we worked so hard to overthrow back in 2014. Meanwhile, the New York Times reported yesterday that the Ukrainian troops are firing so many bullets and so many artillery shells, it's unsustainable. U.S. officials are saying they can't get this stuff made and sent to Ukraine fast enough. And again, that's what happens when you have a poorly trained army that just shoots everything at everywhere and just goes through the ammunition like there's no tomorrow, which is what they're doing. Now, another story is saying, this is from Russia Today, Ukraine is plagued by mounting military problems that do not bode well for its fortunes on the battlefield. This is Russia's deputy permanent representative to the UN, Dmitry Polyansky, and speaking to Kim Iverson, was asked whether he thought the Ukraine conflict was headed, with one possible scenario being NATO's direct involvement. It's kind of weird because NATO is kind of directly involved at this point. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin are now scheduled to meet. Xi Jinping is flying to Moscow on Monday to meet with Putin. This will be the first trip that the Chinese leader makes to Russia since the start of the special military operation in Ukraine. And it also comes at a time where tensions between the U.S. and Russia are at an all-time high. And relations, tensions between China and the U.S. aren't doing all that well either. Now, even before Xi Jinping has had a chance to talk about a possible rollback on the war, the White House is rejecting this, saying we will reject a China-brokered ceasefire in Ukraine. It's none of China's business. And it's kind of weird for the White House to come on out having an opinion about this, since their official position is that this is a war between Russia and Ukraine. So kind of a little weird thing going on there. Now, getting on back to Seymour Hersh's Nord Stream scoop, it's kind of interesting. It's very revealing about who covered it and who did not. Now, Seymour Hersh's story went around the globe. People are reading it. They're saying it makes perfect sense. And the British news agency Reuters ran at least 10 stories on the story. The United States Associated Press did not run a single one. But interestingly enough, is looking at Google, Bing, and DuckDuckGo. you know, what's interesting is what found, but what is not to be found. The Times of London reported Hersh's story hours after he posted it on his account, but nothing in the New York Times. As I mentioned before, Reuters, which is located in Britain, moved at least 10 stories, AP not one. Not a word of Seymour Hersh's story has been broadcast by NBC, ABC, CBS, or the publicly funded broadcasters PBS and NPR. No news stories on the nation's major cable outlets, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. And that one surprises me, okay? So this story is really too hot. Okay, over in France, things are really getting tense there. As we mentioned yesterday, dictator Macron, I'm going to call him that from now on, invoked a special emergency authority to put through his pension reform without a parliamentary vote. And this just made everybody angry, including the parliament. And when Macron was when actually the speaker of the parliament was trying to conduct business, the French MPs sang the Marseillaise, the national anthem, at the top of their voices and waved placards and saying, you know, 64 is no, as, you know, the prime minister was trying to push through this. And following Macron just unilaterally raising the retirement age, there are riots erupting all over. There are fires in the streets. Now, unlike the Black Lives Matter fires here in the U.S., which burn down actual buildings, the videos I've seen from France is they're taking trash, boxes, things, piling them in the middle of the street and setting those on fire. So a little bit better behaved here. But Macron is being warned that France is on the verge of a democratic breakdown, and some of the protesters are now threatening the home of the president. And now the parliament is coming up with a motion of no confidence, which could see Macron removed from office. I think it would be a good thing to happen myself here. Okay, now China has issued a warning to the Philippines not to give the United States any more access to bases. And China's embassy is warning that the U.S. coming into the Philippines is part of a plot to contain China's growing regional influence. That's exactly it. We can't compete with them. Let's cage them up. Same thing with Russia. Meanwhile, Japan and South Korea are working to rebuild their military ties with the backing of the United States of America. And just ahead of this South Korea-Japan summit, North Korea responded by launching a test ICBM. And the missile flew about 620 miles, maximum altitude of 3,730 miles during the 70-minute flight. That's a real amount of altitude. And, you know, taking that trajectory and stretching it out, this missile could potentially reach deep into the U.S. mainland. So we need to rethink our relationship with North Korea. Down in Israel, Netanyahu has rejected a compromise on his judicial reforms, and that sent Israeli protesters back into the streets. There, tens of thousands of Israelis are protesting across the country. Good for them, okay? And even more alarming, elements of Israeli's military, the IDF, are saying they will refuse to serve if Netanyahu pushes this reform through. And one of the effects of this reform, in addition to weakening the central court, is it says the prime minister cannot be removed from office for any reason other than deteriorating health. So Netanyahu can be as corrupt as he wants, and he can be convicted for corruption, and he can stay in office, and that's definitely what he wants to do. Now, the tide is turning against Israel politically, and here in the United States of America, there was a Gallup poll published just yesterday showing that Democrats now sympathize more with the Palestinians than with the Israelis. This is unprecedented. And according to the poll, 49% of Democrats sympathize with the Palestinians. Only 38% sympathize with the Israelis. Meanwhile, the Arab nations are starting to come together to try and make a deal with President Bashar al-Assad to restore ties between Damascus and most of the Middle Eastern countries, leading to the reconstruction of Syria and full normalization. Assad just met with Putin and is welcoming new permanent Russian bases in Syria, which means that Western efforts to topple him, primarily coming from the United States, are going to meet a lot more resistance than they did before. Now, we've been talking about the recruitment problem, and it's gotten so bad that lawmakers are pushing the Department of Defense to approve recruits who have sought mental health care. And in a way, it kind of makes sense because you'd have to be crazy to sign up for military service on the edge of a world war, because there's a good chance you're not going to be coming back. Okay, now then, let's see. Over in the United Kingdom, there are 400,000 workers on strike, tens of thousands rallying in London, and this is all about, pay, and they're demanding an improved pay rise over the government's insulting 5% deal imposed last year. So we're seeing a lot of unhappiness all over the planet. And let's see, we have, here's an interesting little story. Do you remember Solyndra? Okay. This was back during the Obama administration, and Obama gave a $500 million to a startup energy company, Solyndra. They created the company, they cleared a location, they built a building, they put in factory equipment, purchased inventory, hired workers, and then went bankrupt all within the space of a single year. And interestingly enough, within 2 days of the bankruptcy announcement, the FBI swooped in and grabbed all the financial records. And instead of returning inventory to suppliers, they bulldozed it. Then it just vanished from history. No financial accounting was ever made, no congressional hearings, no one was investigated. It just went down the Orwell machine. Okay. Now, story coming on out of the Wall Street on Parade, and it says that Janet Yellen is kind of in a dubious position because under the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation of 2010, the one that repealed Glass-Steagall, the U.S. Treasury Secretary was given increased powers to oversee financial stability in the banking system. This was in response to the 2008 financial crisis, the worst financial collapse since the Great Depression. And the legislation made the Treasury Secretary the chair of the newly created Financial Stability Oversight Council, whose meeting includes the heads of all the federal agencies that supervise banks and trading on Wall Street, and also required the Treasury Secretary's authorization before the Federal Reserve could create any more of those $29 trillion emergency bailout problems. What seems to have gone wrong is they've got all the laws in place. They didn't have an enforcement mechanism. They didn't have enough bank examiners to actually keep track on what was going on. And that didn't really work out all that well. All righty. And finally, a little bit of an apology. Yesterday I said this slavery reparations thing was California-wide. No, it's not. It is confined just to San Francisco. I was wrong on that. And San Francisco is moving forward with this idea of $5 million for every black person who can document they are descended from a slave. And San Francisco does not have that kind of money to hand out. And, you know, once San Francisco does it, you're going to have blacks in other cities and other states demanding the same. And to me, this looks like a clear case of vote buying on the basis of a promise which cannot possibly be kept. And anybody who's suckered into selling their vote on this promise is going to be disappointed. They're being scammed is actually what's going on here. Now, over in Michigan, they have a law called the Right to Work Law. It was enacted in 2012 and ensured that non-union members in a workplace did not have to pay union dues even if the union negotiated on their behalf. And that made sense because they are not part of the union. Democrats want to get rid of that so that if you are working in a union shop, you must join the union. The downside on that is that many unions restrict membership, especially in Hollywood. Boy, could I tell you some horror stories about trying to get into the cameraman's union in Hollywood. All righty. Immigration now. Immigration reform advocates are suing the Washington, D.C. government over a law that went into effect last Tuesday that allows illegal immigrants and foreigners to vote in city elections, arguing this policy is a direct attack on American self-government that would let Russian and Chinese diplomats, not to mention the illegal immigrants, vote themselves bread and circuses. Meanwhile, out in Nevada, Democrats plan to give Medicaid to the illegal immigrants. This is estimated initially to cost $78.5 million. And that's another reason why all these illegals are flooding the border. They're going to get free medical care up here. They're going to get a sweet deal. What can I tell you? All right. Now, there's a very bizarre story, and I'm going to start it and finish it on the other side of the commercial break. Tucker Carlson shared a story where he claimed a Stanford medical professor who specializes in traumatic brain injuries reached out to his team requesting to appear on Tucker Carlson's show about a decade-old conversation between him and the U.S. government. Basically, the government wanted this Stanford scientist to investigate UFO-inflicted brain injuries that killed over 100 troops. And normally I would not post stories like this, but all of a sudden we're seeing all these stories. Remember when the Chinese weather balloon was floating and they shot down four things and they said, well, they might have been alien spaceships. And then yesterday we had this story coming on out where the Pentagon was saying, you know, there could be an alien mothership out there sending these little tiny UFOs to investigate us and explore us. Now, it is known that at one time the Pentagon was considering a plan to fake an alien invasion to scare everybody into total obedience, and maybe they're desperate enough to dust that off and actually try and pull it off. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
And welcome back to our show here. And let's see, we've had Three Mile Island and Chernobyl and Fukushima and problems with that nuclear power plant over in Ukraine here. And now up in Minnesota, authorities revealed yesterday that a nuclear power plant near Minneapolis had suffered a radioactive water spill amounting to over 1.5 million liters. That's about 400,000 gallons of water containing tritium. And the leak was first discovered last November. Source was found on December 19th and patched soon after. But they're obviously dealing with a mess there. Now, no explosions, no meltdowns, nothing like that. And the half-life of tritium is about 12 years. It's a shame they couldn't have taken that and processed it, because tritium is a very valuable commodity. It's a beta emitter, and it's used in a lot of self-illuminating gizmos, gun sights. If you're on a passenger plane, you'll see these flashlights on the wall. And they're regular flashlights of electricity, but they have a red glowing button on them that's always on. That's a tritium button. And you can buy them on eBay and things like that. So it's very valuable stuff. I think it's like $12,000 a gram. Okay, but if it gets into the drinking water, that's a different story entirely. All right, a little bit of good news. There was this couple, Eric and Jillian Wostenberg. They were charged with felonious assault for pulling a gun on a black mother and daughter who allegedly attacked their car back in the summer of 2020. And they've had all charges against them dismissed. Their alleged victims didn't bother showing up in court. And so the judge said, all right, it's all over. And apparently the reason they didn't show up is a video had surfaced from a bystander where the black mother and daughter were screaming, "I will beat your white ass," and were beating on the car. And so they had reason to think that they were in danger. Now, of course, Biden's out there saying, ban guns, ban guns, ban, guns are bad, guns are banned, everything like this. Okay, U.S. gun sales hit over 1 million for the 43rd straight month. I think Biden deserves an award for the gun salesman of the year because of that. All righty, Elon Musk has spoken out against child gender transitions. He just put out this huge tweet in response to Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Came out and said, let's be clear, this is life-affirming and life-saving health care. When our children tell us who they are, it's our jobs to listen and believe them. And Musk responded, not when they're fed propaganda by adults. And he said, being a good parent does not mean letting a child choose their gender. And again, gender dysphoria is something that does happen to kids. They grow out of it. You know, kids growing up, when they transition from childhood to adolescence, they go through an identity crisis. That's just plain normal. Okay, but you know, big pharma, medical industrial complex are trying to turn it into a cash cow. All righty, we are going to open up the phone lines now. We're going to have a break for station identification, 512-248-8252, and we will be right back.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.